Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
This podcast is a Royfield Brown production. Find others on iTunes.
All right. Yeah, I know.
It was the best of time. It was the worst.
She was the people's princess.
We shall fight on the beaches.
Oh, hey, man. These are the things that made England.
We shall fight on the landing ground.
These are the things that made England.
I have the body, but of a weak and feeble woman.
These are the things that made England.
And a king of England, too.
These are the things that made England.
Cry God for Harry!
And these are the things that made England.
England! And St. George!
These are the things that made England.
Hello and Merry Christmas. It's Royfield without David. We thought we'd give you an episode about songs that remind you of good old England. So we asked you on Facebook to nominate your most English of ditties. So as you pull your crackers, we'll give you some songs that made England. Michael Will on our Facebook group said Vindaloo. Now, Vindaloo is a song by the English band Fat Les. The song was co-written by Blur's bassist, and they'll be making another appearance on this show. Blur's bassist Alex James and the part-time Pink Floyd bassist Gary Pratt. It was released as a single in 1998 and was recorded for the World Cup. The song is a parody of football chants and is somewhat of a cult classic. Much of the song consists of the phrase na 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 and we all like Vindaloo. We're England and we're gonna score one more than you. Now, all of that could have been written by the bard himself, I hear you say. Now, the song's name comes from that most English of dishes, Vindaloo, a curry that along with tikka masala and of course fish and chips, now ranks as the nation's favourite dishes. There is a bellicosity to Vindaloo. It's in your face and has the aroma of sweat, beer and a good old punch-up. It's about as English as you can get. back to Facebook. Alison Mary Hebben remembered singing Jerusalem on a coach to a hotel after a Czech English wedding. It's incredibly anthemic, i.e. you sing it whilst pissed and in a crowd. There have been numerous attempts, starting with the Bede, to connect English history with the scriptures. And this is just one of those. Now, Mary Little also plumped for Jerusalem. She says it's a national anthem. Oh, to have our own. It can only be Jerusalem. Those feet in ancient time is a poem by William Blake. The poem was printed in 1808 and is best known as the hymn Jerusalem. The music came much later in 1916 and it was penned by Sir Hubert Parry. Now, if Vindaloo is all about the white working class, Jerusalem sees our middle class brethren singing it at the top of their lungs at the proms. And of course, Jerusalem was inspired by the story that a young Jesus, accompanied by Joseph of Arimathea, who was a tin merchant, travelled to what was to become England and actually visited Glastonbury. Now, of course, that's all hokum, but there is somewhat of a long tradition that claims that Jesus was practically English in these parts. Back to Facebook. William Pendleton says it seems a little bit odd that Jerusalem seems to retain its popularity even though the English are not that religious anymore. Or maybe people just like singing about dark satanic mills. One David Crowther countered by saying, William, what he likes about it is the line about the green and pleasant land. There's a long-running debate on our Facebook pages of this podcast that goes a little bit like this. I'm English, this thing reminds me of England, and I'm American, this is what I think of when I think of England. Now, in American eyes, you can't get more English than the Beatles, other than maybe the Queen. The British invasion was a cultural phenomenon of the mid-1960s, when rock and pop music acts, and let's be honest folks, they were English groups, became popular in the United States. Groups such as the Beatles, the Dave Clark Five, the Kinks, etc., etc., were at the forefront of this cultural invasion that changed world popular music forever. The date of the English invasion of America was Sunday, February the 9th, when the Fab Four appeared on the Ed Sullivan Show. An estimated 45% of the US television viewers that night saw their appearance when they played I Wanna Hold Your Hand. Stephen Bowden wrote on the Facebook page, I vow to thee my country deserves a place on any such list of English anthems. I think those emphasis on sacrifice must have felt hollow even when it was written 3 years after the end of the First World War. The origin of the hymn's text is a poem by the diplomat Sir Cecil Spring Rice. It was written in 1908 and it was entitled Urbis Dei, City of God. Rather good film actually, which came out a few years ago. with the same title. But anyway, the poem describes how a Christian owes his loyalties both to his homeland and the heavenly kingdom. Circulating widely until it was set to music by Holst, to a tune adapted from Jupiter to fit the words of the poem. It's performed as a unison song with an orchestra, and it had its first airing in the 1920s. It's stirring stuff indeed. Another song that became a national hymn of sorts around that time was Abide With Me. It was nominated by one David Crowther on the Facebook group. Abide With Me is a Christian hymn by the Scottish Anglican Henry Francis Light and is most often sung to English composer William Henry Monk's tune, Eventide. It was written in Crossabeg, Wexford, Ireland, and Light wrote the poem in 1847 and set it to music while he lay dying from the most English of conditions, tuberculosis. Writing it and having TB knackered the poor guy, as he was dead 3 weeks after its completion. Ever since the 1927 FA Cup final, which was held between Arsenal and Cardiff, the first and last verses of the hymn have been traditionally sung at every final at Wembley. It's a song that perfectly encapsulates the intersection of football and church. And maybe this should come as no surprise, as for 300 plus years there's been no English state and very few English institutions other than its football team and its church. The English, the English, the English are the best. I wouldn't give a tuppence for all of the rest. Now, that sounds like a chant from the terraces, but in fact, it's a line from A Song of Patriotic Prejudice by Flanders and Swann, which was nominated by Patrick Adams.
England hasn't really got a national song. The rule is, if we've done anything good, it's another triumph for Great Britain. If we haven't, it's England loses again. Have you noticed that? And the Welsh and the Irish have got songs saying how marvellous they are, making rude remarks about the English in their own languages. In the case of the Welsh, I think this is the pot calling the saucepan vach. What English national song have we got? Jerusalem. Now, I think the reason for this is that in the old days, we didn't bother in England about nationalism. I mean, nationalism was on its way out. We got pretty well everything we wanted, and we didn't go around saying how marvellous we were. Everybody knew that. But nowadays, nationalism is on the up and up, and everybody has a national song but us. Americans have national songs, like My Country, 'Tis of Thee, which they sing to the tune of God Save the Queen, I may say, and which, together with their long-range forecasting of our weather, I find hard to believe. Yes. Well, the moment has come, and none too soon. We have a song here. We have a song here which I think fills this long-felt what, and I hope that all true-born English men and women in our audience will join in the last chorus. And if you don't have the good fortune to be English true-born, or a man or a woman, I hope you'll join in as an ordinary mark of simple, decent respect. This song starts with, I think, very typical English understatement.
The English are best. I wouldn't give talents for all of the rest. The rottenest bits of these islands of ours we've left in the hands of three unfriendly powers. Examine the Irishman, Welshman or Scot, you'll find he's a stinker as likely as not. Okay, wow, we got net for a festival. The Scotsman is mean, as we're all well aware, and bony and blotchy and covered with hair. He eats salted porridge, he works all the day, and he hasn't got bishops to show him the way. The English are best. I wouldn't give comments for all of the rest. Or hit me old mother over the head with a shillelagh.
Flanders and Swann were a British comedy duo. Lyricist, actor and singer Michael Flanders with composer and pianist Donald Swann collaborated in writing and performing comic songs. Written at a time when there still was an empire, but its end was in sight, it displays a kind of jingoism whilst knowing that the gig, folks, was up. Stephen Bowden wrote, "In these times of austerity, I reckon there's a place in our national discourse for hard times of old England." Now, Hard Times of Old England is an 18th century song from the repertoire of the Copper family. National patron saint of England, Billy Bragg, sang Hard Times of Old England Retold in 2007 and the Imagined Village's eponymous first album, The Imagined Village.
For five generations my family have farmed, by horse and by tractor, by hoe and by hand, but that won't stave off the band's latest demand. Singing all the hard times of old England, in old England, very hard times. Time was I could sell what I grew at the shop. Then Tesco's turned up, all of that had to stop. Now I can't make a living out of my crop. Singing all the hard times of old England, in old England, very hard times.
It's somewhat surprising that more folk songs didn't make our list. As England shrinks, it's poignant to think of a time when we looked outwards culturally. One of those times was the second British invasion, which hit the United States in the middle of 1982 until round about 1986. Now, that term derives from the similar British invasion in the 1960s that we mentioned earlier, but 1982 saw the Human League's Don't You Want Me start a 3-week reign at the top of the Hot 100. Hearing British synth pop of that time is unmistakably a sound of England.
In a cocktail bar when I met you, I picked you out.
The 90s saw the rise of the lad in English culture, a celebration of beer and its crossover with football. It's not by accident that three songs on this show hail from that period. It's a time when the country was optimistic and when ownership of its national game passed from the working class to the prawn sandwich eating middle classes. Though it's not a football anthem, Blur's Park Life feels very much like one. It also reminds us of that Britpop battle of the mid-90s when Blur duked it out with Oasis.
Confidence is a preference for the habitual voyeur of what is known as. A morning suit can be avoided if you take a route straight through what is known as. John Scott Brewer's crew, he gets intimidated by the dirty pigeons. They love a bit of him. Who's that gut lord marching? You should cut down on your pork life, mate. Get some exercise.
There are very few pop songs about English places. No songs about, say, Manchester, Bradford or Birmingham, the way that the Americans like to sing about being 24 hours from Tulsa, New York, New York, or even their girls from California, or Californian girls. Waterloo Sunset by the Kinks bucks that trend. The song was originally entitled Liverpool Sunset, and in an interview with the Liverpool Echo, Ray Davies explained, "Liverpool is my favourite city, and the song was originally called Liverpool Sunset, as I was inspired by the Mersey Beat.
Dirty old river, must you keep rolling, flowing into the night. People so busy, make me feel dizzy, taxi light shines so bright. But I don't.
The 60s were a world away from that of the early 80s, when 1 in 10 were unemployed. Marilyn Little nominated Ghost Town by The Specials. It's a little place of England set against Thatcher's dream of a deregulated workforce. Facebook, Richard Lyle opted for Always Look on the Brighter Side of Life, a comedy song written by Monty Python member Eric Idle that was first featured in the film Monty Python's Life of Brian. It has gone on to become a common sing-along at public events such as football matches, when your team is getting tonked, or at funerals.
Excuse me, but there's been some sort of mistake.
Oh well, we'll sort that out later.
Oh, that's a good one, eh? We'll sort it out later, after you've been crucified. Typical bloody Romans, eh?
Now you can shut up.
Or what? I'll have to give up being crucified in the afternoons.
But I don't want to be crucified.
Oh, cheer up, Brian. You know what they say. Some things in life are bad. They can really make you sad. Other things just make you swear and curse. When you're chewing on life's gristle, don't grumble, give a whistle. And this'll help things turn out for the best. And always look on the bright side of life. See? Always look on the light side of life. If life seems jolly rotten, there's something you've forgotten, and that's to laugh and smile and dance and sing. If you're feeling in the dumps, don't be silly chumps, just purse your lips and whistle. That's the thing. And always look on the bright side of life. Very good. Always look on the light side of life. For life is quite absurd, and death's the final word. You must always face the curtain with a bow. Forget about your sin, give the audience a grin. Enjoy it, it's your last chance anyhow. So, always look on the bright side of death. Just before you draw your terminal breath. Life's a piece of shit when you look at it. Life's a laugh, a death's a joke, it's true. You'll see it's all a show. Keep up laughing as you go. Just remember, the last laugh is on you. Hey, always look on the bright side of life. Always look on the bright side of life. Key change. Always look on the bright side of life. Always look on the bright side of life. Always look on the bright side of life. Always look on the bright side of life.
It's a song about English stoicism, that stiff upper lip in the face of adversity, and it became immediately popular. The song was sung at the 2012 Summer Olympics closing ceremony, and it really sounds like it was born out of the music hall tradition of England. And that's somewhat apt as we end with one song that absolutely was. It's Let's All Go Down to the Strand and Have a Banana. You can't get more English than this, folks. Merry Christmas.
Oh, wow, what a load of blatant rubbish.
I might have forgotten just one song. It's probably the secular song that is the most English of all. It has all the traits that make a good stonking anthem. It's easy to sing, it's about football, and ultimately, it's about continuing failure. I give you Badil and Skinner's Three Lions.
We're not creative enough, we're not positive enough.
It's coming home, it's coming home, it's coming home.
We'll go on getting back, so I'm getting back, so I'm getting back, so I'm getting back.
It's coming, football's coming home, it's coming. So sure that England's gonna throw it away, gonna blow it away, but I know they can play, 'cause I remember Three Lions on the shirt. Jewels remain still gleaming, 30 years of hurt never stop me dreaming.
So many jokes, so
see that tackle by Moore, and when Lineker scored, Bobby Belt in the ball,
and Nobby dancing.
Three lines on a shirt, jewels remain still gleaming. 30 years of hurt never stop me.
Now, just before I say goodbye, there will be another Things That Made England podcast, which will be released on New Year's Day. It will feature the English tradition of festive ghost stories. That's me, Royfield, saying goodbye. Don't forget, please go onto our Facebook group and go and join if you haven't already. You can also go onto iTunes or a podcatcher of your choice and write us a review. And I'd like to take this time, on behalf of David and myself, to wish you a very Merry Christmas. Bye-bye.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
Traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit EnergyCitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.